Today, for many, is the birthday of the church, but really is more than that, because it is a feast where the church receives her mission, her purpose, and it is about how the Spirit goes about fulfilling that purpose through a multitude of gifts and charisms offered to the church, offered to individuals throughout the world, but not just for our gift ourselves. It's not just for the individual glory or individual recognition. The gifts are for us, but they are meant to be given back, to be received, strengthened, perfected within the individual, and then given back to the church for others. When we do this, we see certain realities in our lives. We see our relationship with Jesus Christ grow. We see our defense of the faith become stronger, and we see our desire to spread the faith is renewed. But it doesn't just happen. All of the baptized, all of the confirmed have received these gifts, fulfilling what was offered at our baptism. But we need to act on them, because if we just let them sit, be like planting a seed in the ground in the spring and not getting any rain, it just is going to sit there. It's there, but it's going to wait for that rain. We need to act on them. We need to cooperate with them. We need to practice our faith and let these gifts of the Holy Spirit grow and mature within us and impact our lives. The same Spirit that was there at the very dawn of creation, the same Spirit is active in the lives of the apostles. That same Spirit is here in our lives as well. Our reading shows very clearly how He impacts the lives of His people. At His ascension, Jesus told His disciples to go and wait for the Paraclete, for the Advocate. When He breathed on them at His resurrection, they received the Spirit, but not yet in its fullness. So 10 days after Christ ascends into heaven, they're all gathered together. But remember the last time they were gathered? There was one missing. But at this feast of the Pentecost, they're all there. And they're waiting. Suddenly a strong noise like a strong wind, fills the house that they're in. And they see these tongues of fire come down and rest upon them. These call to mind so many different events in our salvation history. How the Spirit breathed on the waters at the very dawn of creation. How God breathed life into Adam and Eve. The wind blowing and parting the Red Sea, leading the Israelite nation into freedom from the Egyptians. Have you ever heard the book of the prophet Ezekiel? I know that you have, because we read it every 3 years. How his vision of these dry bones, he's standing in this field after this great battle, and there's all these dried bones. And he receives a vision, prophesy to them. And so he says, "Oh, dry bones, hear the word of God." And through the words of the prophet Ezekiel, the dry bones receive the word of God, and they come back to life, forming a great army. The fire of the burning bush with Moses. The bush on fire, but yet not being consumed. Like the tongues of fire coming down upon the apostles, but not burning them. The pillar of fire accompanying the Israelite nation through their 40 years, leading them, protecting them, and eventually bringing them to the promised land. That imagery continues today. Just this last week, Bishop Callahan was here to confirm many of our young people. And he spoke of the mitre, the hat that the bishops wear, in the form of two flames, one in the front and one in the back, one representing the New Testament, one representing the Old Testament, these pillars of flame that lead us still today. We see how the Spirit impacted the lives of the apostles. Gathered in Jerusalem at the time were Jews from all over the land. This great feast of the Pentecost is a feast of the Jewish people. And they would come, almost the same as Passover. They would come from all over the world to be in Jerusalem for this feast. And so they gathered together, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and more. You almost need the gift of Spirit to say the names of all the people that were there. But they're all gathered for that feast. And then they find themselves listening to these uneducated Galileans. But the amazing thing is they're hearing what they're saying in their own language. They're talking about these great works of God, and that's another great work of God right there. It'd be the same if we had brothers and sisters here today from China and Russia and Germany, and they could hear me in their own languages speaking this morning. Lord, send out your Spirit and renew the face of the earth. than in our gospel. It takes us back. It takes us right to the resurrection of the Christ. That first evening, the disciples gathered. The doors locked. Jesus suddenly in their midst. Peace be with you. He shows them the wounds on his hands and on his side. He gives them their mission, and he gives us our mission. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. And he breathes on them. Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven. Those sins that you retain are retained. This special ministry, yes, it's played out in a very special way with the ordained, but it is nevertheless there for each and every baptized and confirmed Christian. This action of Christ prepares the apostles for the fullness of the Spirit, just as baptism prepares us to receive the fullness of the Spirit in confirmation. We see it in the Acts that the disciples, after they receive this beginning, they don't just sit around waiting for something to happen. They get busy. They start with this mission. Doing so timidly, granted, but we see glimpses of brilliance in there, acting on their gift. And then when Christ ascends into heaven, they don't know what to make of it. So they wait. They don't know why they're waiting. They don't know how long they're going to wait. But they don't just sit around waiting. And then they find themselves gathered together in prayer in this upper room. And when it happens, when the Spirit comes upon them, there is absolutely no doubt what is going on. And they are never the same again. And that call of the apostles is our call. It's not only a call for religious. It's not only a call for the priesthood. It's a call of every baptized, every confirmed Christian. The gifts of the Holy Spirit, wisdom, understanding, knowledge, counsel, prudence, fear of the Lord, fortitude, for all of us. So many charisms and talents. We read in the letter to the Corinthians, St. Paul writes, are all apostles? Are all teachers? Are all prophets? Do all work miracles? Do all have the gifts of healing? His enumeration of the gifts of the Holy Spirit goes on, and he still doesn't cover all of them, but he covers a lot of them. There are different spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. Different forms of service, but the same Lord. Different workings, but the same God performing all of them. To each individual, this manifestation of the Spirit is given for a specific benefit. One body, many parts. We've all been given of the one Spirit to drink. In baptism and confirmation specifically, but also in all of the sacraments, in the Holy Sacrament of the Eucharist, when we receive the body of Christ, the blood of Christ, His Spirit comes within us. The sacrament of matrimony, the Spirit is there between the spouse, within the family, all of the sacraments. We've got, in reality, the largest Pentecostal church in the whole world. As Vatican II tells us in Lumen Gentium, allotting his gifts to everyone according as he will, the Holy Spirit distributes the special graces among the faithful of every rank. These charismatic gifts, whether they be the most outstanding or the more simple and widely diffused, are to be received with thanksgiving and consolation, for they are exceedingly suitable and useful for the needs of the church. Powerful gifts, freely given for all of us. This is what Pope Francis was talking about when he was down in Brazil for the World Youth Conference. Let chaos reign. Live the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And when we live them under that gift of unity of our bishops and our Holy Father, our gifts will mature and grow, and they will be offered for the greater glory of God. So before you think that, you know, I know that the gift's out there, but, you know, for some reason it didn't take. I didn't get it. My baptism, my confirmation, I just didn't get it. Something might be holding you back, but you got it. Because it's not up to us. It's a gift and a promise by our Lord. We've gotten it. So the question isn't whether we got it. The question is, what am I doing with it? We can try, like the apostles did for so long, to lock it out. To keep Christ at bay, or we can open the doors to the Holy Spirit and invite Him in. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful. So every day, every Mass becomes a new sacramental Pentecost, a new outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit is poured out, not into church buildings, but into the hearts of His sons and daughters. Not to be left here, but to be filled and to be taken with us when we go out into the world, giving us strength and confidence to fulfill our mission. And hearing Christ's mission for us once again, maybe hearing it for the first time. Peace I give you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you.
Joyful hope, love of God, and smiling faces is the heritage we have as sons of God.